Good evening to each of you. Jeremiah 36, please, in your Bibles. Anything lost in transmission, I ask tonight again? Jeremiah chapter 36. Verse number 1, it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord. Would you pray with me, please? Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for the evening in which we're here gathered together. Thank You for Your Word and the opportunity we will share together. And once again, I would pray that the Spirit of God might work in each heart. Make clear Your Word. Make Your divine impressions upon each heart. Move us forward from where we are as individuals to where we need to be at this point in time in Your plan. Move this church forward, if it please Thee to do so. And in it all, bring glory to Your great name. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Verses 1 and 2. Josiah, question mark or quiz, good king, bad king? By your recollection, Josiah, good king. Jehoiakim, his son, it's his time. This word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. First of all, see in these two verses the revelation direct from God. And, as an added point of interest in verse number 2, the instructions from the Lord is to write all the words that I have spoken. When we spoke to you this morning in Sunday school class about verbal plenary inspiration, I just want to remind you what the concept involves and the importance of that concept as it relates to God's self-disclosure of His truth, His heart, to the human mind. Verbal inspiration means that the very words of God are breathed out by God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So the very words that you read, each word in its place in this English translation, is the very word of God. Plenary inspiration means that even the smallest part of any letter comprising or forming any word is likewise directly inspired of God. So that from the smallest portion to the largest, encompassing the entirety of His revelation from Genesis through the end of Revelation, is the Word of God. It was the Word of God. It always shall be the Word of God. It is fixed forever in heaven. So the instructions are, under our theme tonight, is anything lost in the transmission? It has now left the heart of God and it has come to Jeremiah. From the heart of God to the heart of Jeremiah. And the instructions are, take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken. Not some of the words. Not just the major words, but all of the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel. Then in verse number 3, there is this little statement that always has a glimmer of hope in it when he says, it might be, or it may be. And here, please notice that God is hopeful for a change of attitude leading to repentance. Verse 3, it may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Forgiveness comes on no other grounds than that. When men repent, God forgives. God does not grant forgiveness until there is repentance. And be sure that where there has been repentance, God has granted His forgiveness. So the revelation has come with this hope in the heart of God that there might be repentance in the life of every person who hears the word given. It may be, he says. And then we come to verse number 4 where we see the recording. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah. And Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he had spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. He was imprisoned at the time, restrained. And so you see here in verse number 4 that Jeremiah calls for a scribe, Baruch by name. And he wants him to write exactly what he says. Now, where did Jeremiah get exactly what he would tell Baruch? He would get it from the Lord. And he would be faithful in the transmission of what God gave him to Baruch. And Baruch was going to write without taking any liberty whatever to insert his own idioms or phrases or punctuations or emphases. He would write exactly like it was given to him. The recording. Now that in a very small scope is a picture of what all the authors of Scripture, all 40 of them did, when they wrote, as led by the Spirit, the Scriptures. God did not merely dictate to them, however. Baruch, as a scribe, did not, as I say, take liberty with the words that Jeremiah gave him. For if Jeremiah had written it himself, God would have permitted him, as he did with all the other writers, to use his personality, his level of education, his means of expression, to write exactly the words that he wanted to be recorded. Inasmuch, however, as Baruch was merely taking it hand in hand, or from the mouth to the hand, from the heart of Jeremiah to the pen that he was writing with, he wrote exactly the words that he spoke. And so again I ask the question, is there anything lost in transmission to this point? The answer is no. So we have this. Verse number 6, we're going to see the first of several readings. First of 3, as a matter of fact. After everything is written, therefore go thou and read in the roll, which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of the Lord in the ears of the people, where? In the Lord's house, upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. First of all, consider this first reading. Baruch is to take the words that Jeremiah has given him. He has faithfully recorded them. And now he's going to take that roll and he's going to read them before an audience in the Lord's house. He's going to read from the roll exactly what was written, exactly as it came from the heart of God to the heart of Jeremiah. Exactly that. That's the first reading. And notice again in verse 7, there's that glimmer of hope once more. It may be. They will present their supplications or supplication before the Lord, and I will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. Now, why did he do that? Simply because of idolatry. Anger and fury. That's the warning that is part and parcel of this message from Baruch. It may be, there's that glimmer of hope again, that once they hear what has been recorded and what is being read in their ears, that they have a change of heart. I mean, that's always the hope of every parent who quotes a verse of Scripture to their children, every Sunday school teacher who gives a lesson to their students, every pastor who preaches a message, every teacher or missionary has this hope that when they present God's Word, that there's going to be a positive response in the hearers. And so it is here. So we have in verse number 8, the reading again. Baruch, the son of Neriah, did, according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Very appropriate place that it should be read there, yes? In the Lord's house. There's that reading again by Baruch. And it came to pass in the 5th year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. And by the way, we're now, if you look, compare verse 9 to verse 1, how much time has elapsed? Huh? No, from verse 1 to the 9th verse. A year. When we begin reading, it's the 4th year. Now, verse 9, we're in the 5th year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. In the 9th month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem. Now, when you think about fast, is it something you're gaining or something that you're giving? You're giving. Is it something that, when done biblically, is it something that's, would you say, characterized by sacrifice or something else, this fast? Okay. So they call a fast to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Then in verse number 10, we have another mention of the reading. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan the scribe, in the higher court at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. Now, please notice who's listening. And please notice again in verse number 10, what's being read. And the thing that's being read is exactly the words of Jeremiah. Is anything lost in the transmission on this reading? And then we come to verse number 11, where we have an instance of a second reading, or a second occasion, different audience. It says, when Micaiah, the son of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber. And lo, all the princes sat there, and their names are given. You can sort them out. Then verse number 13, then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard. When Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Anything lost in transmission there? Now we go back again from the heart of God to the heart of Jeremiah to the pen of Baruch. Baruch reads it, the people hear it, here's a new audience, and all he's now doing, he's going to pass on what he heard out of God's word to some other people. And it says there that he is going to he declares unto them all the words that he heard. All the words. What in part would he be communicating? He's going to probably communicate about that anger and fury that's mentioned in verse number 7. He's probably going to communicate that which you read in verse 3 about the evil that God purposes to do in judgment upon his people. Therefore, verse number 14, we have another instance here of reading. Therefore, all the princes sent, here's a new name now, Jehudi. Gives his dad's name, grandpa's name, great-grandpa, unto Baruch, saying, take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. What is he reading? Exactly what he had written previously from the mouth of Jeremiah. The exact message, every word that God had given. And that's what he's reading. Now, look please at this response in verse 16. That's the response. It came to pass when they had heard all the words, they were afraid. Both of them. Now, do you suppose these people were afraid of Baruch? I wouldn't think so. You suppose they were afraid of Jeremiah? No. But they were afraid at the words. Now, that gives me, and ought to give each of us, the sense of their understanding and the significance of what was spoken in their ears as to the point of its origin. They were afraid. both one and other, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king all of all these words. So they're going to take what they just heard, and they're going to take it to the king now. They're going to go to the highest level of administration in the kingdom. Notice, please, all through what we've read so far, how many levels of communication there has been mentioned in these brief 16 to 17 verses. How many people have had audience to what God had said that first originated from Jeremiah? And where did Jeremiah get it? He got it directly from the Lord. Now, I will say this. Is God today, and this is very important, is God today speaking His word directly to a prophet? Is there any new revelation on the skyline? There is none. None. And so the tip-off for you and I is that whenever we hear someone, whether on the radio, the television, or in print, writing a book or whatever, claim that he has some new revelation from God previously unheard of and not included in the Holy Writ, you can just simply take that bit of information and deep-six it. It has no weight. There's no weight of authority because it has originated, like so much of the time, there were prophets even in Jeremiah's day who would speak not from the revelation that God gave them, but things that they had concocted out of their own heart. And if ever, and I will say this, feel free as a church congregation, if you ever believe that your pastor is giving you stuff from this pulpit, a concoction out of his own heart, then you need to assemble the same day you hear it, a business meeting, somebody put a motion on the table, and fire me. Somebody stand back at that door, hold it open, and point the way out. Do you agree on that? And I ain't going to fist fight you over it either. Now, look, please, we go back. They were afraid. They're going to tell the king. They're 17. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? Then Baruch answered with a little bit of rocket science. He's going to go fast for them. He said, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink on the book. There's no sense. There's no sense trying to elaborate. That's what I did. He gave me the words. He spoke the words. I wrote them down with ink and pen. Now, is there anything lost in transmission from the heart of God to the piece of paper that's all rolled up being read by Baruch? You say, well, what if Baruch messed up and he maybe is like some of us and he does a lot of, huh? What? Say that again. And doesn't get everything. Is it possible that old Baruch could have made an error in transcribing the Word of God? Well, humanly speaking, it's possible. But when you think about it theologically, it is God the Spirit who superintended the authors of Scripture so that every word they wrote was precisely the word that He intended. However fallible they may have been, and all of them were, when they were under the oversight or the superintendence of the Holy Spirit, they would not, could not, did not make error in the transcribing of His Word. Is that important for your faith? What if there's an error in Ephesians 2:8? For salvation is by grace. What if the writer of Scripture got that wrong? What about the Proverbs chapter 3? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. What if he got that wrong? What if God expects us to lean on our own understanding? We're after all responsible for our sins. Find your own way out of it. Don't think so. So, he gives them his explanation there in verse 18. Then said the princes unto Baruch, And please notice now what they're going to advise him to do. Go hide. Go hide. Baruch, you get Jeremiah, go hide. Let no man know where you be. Why would they say that to him? Because the words that they were going to carry to the king, they already knew the mindset and the heart of the king would respond negatively to what he would hear with his ears. Say, go and hide. And they went in to the king, into the court. But they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. Now, finally, from the heart of God, the message reaches the ears of the man who can, like Josiah and those other good kings that we've been highlighting the past 2 weeks, do what he wants. He would be in a position best to do what he wants. So he told the king. Verse number 21, please. We see another instance of this reading. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll. Because you see, those men were just simply verbally transmitting what they remembered from what they heard. Now the king wants to see the writing. He wants to see the writing. Now you would think that a wise man would want to see the writing just to verify what he had just heard. You don't want to take merely the words of men, so be Berean-like. And when I say be Berean-like, what does that mean to you? Yourselves. Don't take my word for it. That's why it's important for you to come with your King James Bible in your hand, have it open, and look at what I say. Don't take my word for it. Say, well, if we can't trust you, who can we trust? That's not the issue. Trust, but verify. Because I'm not any less fallible than any of the writers of Scripture, and there may be an error on my part, intention or otherwise. So, get the book. And verse 21, Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. This was a lovely setting. If somebody could have a Kincaid, a moment, or a Rockwell moment, the two most blessed artists in the world, by my recollection, goes to show you where I'm at in life. Kincaid or Rockwell, this would present a lovely picture. There you see is a nice big cut stone fireplace. And in that fireplace, you have a nice little cozy blaze going. And there you have a lazy boy recliner, a perfect place to pick up your King James Bible, sit down and have devotions. Yes? Can you imagine somebody capturing that on a canvas? I'd buy it. Well, here it says in verse 22, the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. Perfect, perfect scenario. What a marvelous manipulation of timing and events to have the roll come, the book of God, read right in front of the king at the fireplace. And it came to pass in verse 23. Please see a response again. Came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, he cut it with the penknife. Literally. Cut it with a penknife. He is, can I just adapt that to say, he is like so many who, when they hear the word of God, the only thing they can do is cut it up. The only thing they can do is dissect it. The only thing that they can do is tear it down. It's a strange thing that while you and I have the luxury of joking about certain portions of Scripture that are omitted from your Bibles simply because of convenience, you know, like most husbands want to get rid of Ephesians chapter 5. You know, husbands love your wives even as the Lord or Christ loved the church. You know, we take that chapter 5 out of Ephesians and say it's not there. We joke around, we have fun about that. But, you know, there are people who have been, especially in America, since the late 1800s, early 1900s, who have taken the very Word of God and done this exactly the same thing. It doesn't really mean what it says. Jesus is not divine. Mary was not a virgin pure. It wouldn't make any difference if Jesus died on the cross or he died a natural death. If God had so designed that his death would be for us in redemption, that's the way it would have been. He cut it with a penknife and he cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. And then you see this. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Quite a different response from that which we read in verse 16. When some people heard what was written, it made them afraid. When he hears those words, he could care less. And why is that? What's the difference between the two kinds of people in their responses? Is it any different today than it was then? That some people will hear the same gospel and reject it utterly as being unreasonable or too simplistic, where others immediately fall on their knees and bow before the Lord and receive Christ as their Savior. Verse 25, nevertheless, Elnathan and Delilah, that's not the way it is, Delaiah and Gemariah. That's why we have a lot of nicknames in America. They had made intercession to the king. They were doing good. They made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll, but he would not hear them. They tried to prevent it, but he wouldn't listen. But the king commanded these folks there in verse 26, I'll leave them to you, to take Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet. But what did the Lord do? He hid them. And why would he do that? Because verse number 27, we see that there is the process of rewriting what God had given. Now, that word from the heart of God to Jeremiah, to Baruch, to all these other readers of this book is gone. Gone. And we have put forth a notion in our church for a long time that God has preserved His Word over the centuries in spite of people's attempt to burn it, to trash can it, or to just lay it aside, destroy it in whatever means possible. God is able to preserve His Word. Do you believe that to be true? Because you look in verse 27, then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah after that the king had burned the roll. And the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, here are his instructions now. Will there be anything lost in transmission? Take thee again another roll and write in it all, every one of them, all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, had burned. Did God know that Jehoiakim burned that book? Yeah, he sure did. He says, and thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord, thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast? That's what the king's pick was. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out in the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost, and I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. And what was their iniquity? That when the word of God was read in their presence, they rejected it, and then they took that word and burned it. Says, I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearken not. Take heed how you hear. Is anything lost in transmission? Verse 32, then took Jeremiah another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And please notice, there was a little postscript on this second revised edition. There were added besides unto them many like words. God is able to preserve His Word. You burn it, don't think that you got rid of it. God will preserve His Word. Here, the king had an opportunity at a fireside devotional to respond positively to God's Word. Was in a position probably to at least delay, if not deflect entirely, the invasion of Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon and carry them away captive. If that had happened, you might be reading the book of Daniel in a different light. So from the heart of God to the mouth of men, is there anything lost in transition? A little bit of a devotional application before we go home tonight. Look in Jeremiah chapter 20. Jeremiah chapter 20. Verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. So in spite of his intention to stifle everything that God had told him to deliver to the people of Jerusalem, he said at last this, his word was in my heart as a burning fire. It reminds me of something that those two Emmaus Road disciples in Luke 24 said after their encounter with Jesus. He said, did not, how did the thing go? 24:32? Yeah, did not our hearts burn within us? And the psalmist out of Psalm 39:4 said something to this word. He said, while I mused on these things, the word of God, my heart burned, or my heart was hot within me. And so when I leave you with this notion that rather than the Word of God be pitched in the hearth, may it be placed in the heart. And may there be a blaze established in your heart and mind, because there is nothing lost in transmission from the heart of God to the mouth of His messenger, regardless of how many people down the line transmit that truth. It is still traceable back to the point of origin. It is the authoritative, inspired, fixed forever in heaven Word of God. Nothing is ever lost in transmission of the Scripture. Now, what you need to do, what I need to do, is think, well, if that's true, and I think we can demonstrate that it is, and more's en route on Sunday morning, coming up in Sunday school, if that's all true and it is, then how should that have an effect on my response to the things that I hear in the Word, even though it comes out of the mouth of a Polak, a messenger of God? Would you pray with me, please? Once again, dear Heavenly Father, we simply ask that You might take Your Word. May we have sufficient food for thought. May there be sufficient nourishment for our soul's needs. Build us and strengthen us. And Lord, bring glory to Your great name, where we ask it in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.